Democrat of the day is looking to become the Democrat representing 33A. Caitlin Cahill is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and hoping to pick up Western Hennepin County for the DFL. Caitlin, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure here. I will say I have been in your district a lot in the last few weeks because of my kids are playing high school sports. So because we're in Hopkins, I got to go to Buffalo. I've driven through your district a lot to go up to St. Michael Albertville. And then as well, I came through and we just did a nice, wonderful fall leaf drive. And your district is gorgeous, especially that north side of Lake Minnetonka. That was very pretty.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have quite a unique mix of the lakes in Wayzata and the rural, you know, up in Independence and Greenfield. It's really beautiful out here.
Well, and I will say there were some people have asked me. I posted a few weeks ago some pictures of an autumn sunset. I took, I believe that was the Loretto turnoff as I was heading north. That I just stopped. I said, I got to take a picture of this. It was gorgeous. The rural parts of Hennepin County, they are spectacular this time of year. I encourage everyone to get out. A lot of people will actually get out that way because apple picking, this is the time of year people start heading back out into the country.
Yep, it's our favorite season out here. Come and get your apple donuts.
Oh, Caitlin, you hit me in my wheelhouse. All right, let's introduce yourself to everyone. Who exactly is Caitlin Cahill?
Well, I'm definitely familiar with this area because I grew up here, and that's one of the main reasons I'm running. So I grew up just down the road in Plymouth and graduated from the Wayzata schools. And then right after college, I actually started at the Orono Public Schools as an instructional tech specialist. After doing that for about 10 years, which I absolutely loved, during that time, I also joined the Hennepin County Library Board. So I got my first taste of policymaking at the county level, and I really loved it. And then I left the schools and started my own business, providing technology services to other small businesses.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, I joined the Maple Plain City Council. So I kind of have floated around the city, the county, and state level government.
And Maple Plain is also a delightfully cute little town. I was out there as well just recently in that very nice little town. What prompted you all of a sudden to say, you know what, I'm going to try for the House seat?
You know, I felt between that my experience with the public schools and the county, I just found that we really are values out here of, you know, taking care of one another, having high quality education, small businesses, all that really wasn't being represented for us. We were really just having really extreme votes on the other side of things. And so I wanted to be the representative that will actually listen to constituents and stand up for issues and not just be against everything.
Well, and yeah, you are running against one of the more negative Republicans who definitely, I would make a very strong argument. There's at least four or five issues off the top of my head I can think that your opponent goes against your district on just because he's been told to toe the party line. And I don't think that that's good representation, period.
Well, and I think it goes beyond towing the party line. You know, there's lots of different bills that have strong bipartisan support that he's voted against. You know, for example, some of the medical bills, you know, giving people who are diabetic a one-time supply of emergency insulin when they can't afford it. You're literally saving lives. And yet, you know, he chose to vote against that. And that's just, I don't think it goes with the values of our district.
You can't vote against that bill. And we've talked about that a lot on the show. You cannot vote against that bill and then say, but I care about people's health care. That was just, you can't equate that. That was just disgusting. And I'm glad you brought that one up. The district that you're looking to represent, 33A, once again, it really is the entire western side of Hennepin County for the most part. St. Bonifacius, it curves down, gets to St. Bonnie's, goes all the way up Greenfield, goes over to Medina. And then, of course, like you said, it's got that very juxtaposed against the entire northern side of Lake Minnetonka. You know, there are a few really unique elements to that district, which I'd love to get your thoughts on. Namely, let's start off with expansion, because you do have a lot of rural communities out there in that district that aren't looking necessarily to become bedroom communities for the metro area. But at the same time, if you're going to have growth, you have to do it right. And there are plenty of places. Medina is exploding. I mean, you look to the western side of Lake Minnetonka, that's all developed. I remember when that was all farm fields as a kid. It's going to grow one way or the other. How do you address that and make sure that the growth that happens is representative of 33A?
Well, I think there's two different issues here. One is that growth is largely up to your local municipalities. you know, I don't think the state should control, you know, how much growth or demand that there's growth in certain communities. For example, Independence has in their comprehensive plan that they want to stay more rural, and that's different from a community like Wayzata that wants to grow. And so I think giving cities the ability to still control that, you know, is within their best interest. But I think residents also have to realize that, you know, I often get feedback in our small town. They want things like a grocery store. They want things like a chain, you know, fast food shop. You don't get those things without rooftops because businesses won't consider, you know, setting up shop in the middle of nowhere. So it's a delicate balance. If you want some of those amenities, you might have to grow a little bit.
Yeah, and you bring that up. It's interesting. I was out on Bass Lake Road. Was it Bass Lake Road 101? They got a brand new big old Hy-Vee out there. And, you know, that's exactly right. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's tough because I've been in plenty of small towns. And, you know, it's hard when you want to maintain that small town business, but you also have that lure of the metro. You know, that's another thing. I mean, it's definitely a fine balance on a beam that you have to go down to make sure that you're helping make sure those communities make the right decisions so they don't get priced out or one large box store runs out half the businesses within their own downtown.
Yep. And I think one thing that is high on my priority list that can help with that is making sure that we have reliable broadband access
yes.
out here.
Yes.
Because that gives our small businesses that even footing with those big corporations.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up for this reason. This is one of those issues that I don't think there's a lot of people in the metro core that understand. There's a reason I harp on we need broadband from Crane Lake down to Albert Lee. We need to have it statewide. Is that it does not, you know, whether it's education, business, healthcare, there are so many uses for it. And it's not like it's great out to St. Cloud. There are plenty of areas of Hennepin County where broadband is desperately needed right now because whether it's business growth, whether it's education, being sure kids can do their homework, whether it's convenience for medical information for your local doctor, we need to have that. And it is just not something that's been developed, even though Republicans have said, oh, trust us, we'll get there and develop it eventually.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing is that the legislature actually looked at that a few years back and had a plan for it and how much it would cost. And they voted to fund just a small portion of it, which was largely in the metro area. So it really didn't do much good for the entire state.
No, as a matter of fact, I remember that. It was the Republicans said we have to do this. The Democrats, the DFL, came up with $120 million. Here's what we'll need to do. This will be our first step. Republicans said, we didn't think it would be that expensive. So they said, oh, we'll only spend like $10 million on it. And you're right. It was just a patchwork, almost like their donors got broadband, but no one else did. It's a difficult juncture because once again you get on, you know, when you look at business and you want to encourage, we're capitalists, we want to encourage business growth, they're already there on the north shore of Lake Minnetonka. I mean, I like I said, I drove out there. It's gorgeous. It's very developed. It's got a great quality of life there. But within your same district, only a few miles away, you know, you can't get you have to go to a certain side of your house to try to get a signal so you can search the internet. I mean, it is a real paradox that you have there. And just once again, highlighting the failure Republicans have not helped your district.
Yep. And, you know, back to capitalism and competition, part of the reason why some of the broadband out here isn't accessible is partly because of price. You could maybe get that high speed, but you're paying several hundred dollars a month for it, which not all our families can afford.
No, and you're looking at farmers' margins there. They're just not there. Once again, Caitlin Cahill is joining us right now, Democrat of the day, 33A House seat. Let's talk a little bit about health care as well, more on that as you brought that up. Obviously, let's talk how it's affecting your campaign. I'm pretty sure you're not doing too much door knocking right now, like most DFL candidates. How have you been able to move forward in the age of the pandemic with the campaign?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because in some respects it has been difficult because of that nature of we know door knocking is the most effective way to meet people and have those great individual conversations. So that's been a little bit of a struggle. But I think as everyone has adapted to the pandemic and being quarantined early in the spring, you know, most people learned how to do a video call. And so I think we find that it's really no excuse not to be available to people because we're just, you know, a listening session online away. We're just a Facebook Live away or just a phone call away. So we've really tried to adapt to that and make sure we have a mix of just lots of opportunities for people to log on and, you know, share their feelings, reach out via phone. And, you know, I welcome anyone to call me directly.
What has been, from when you're talking to the constituents of 33A, what has been the feedback you've gotten in regards to coronavirus and healthcare as a whole? Are they, you know, it's interesting because you have a lot of people in your district who've got those really good healthcare plans, but I imagine you got a lot of people in your district that don't have healthcare at all. And obviously, this is a very serious crisis, which, you know, you shouldn't have to get bankrupted just because you got sick.
You know, it's been an interesting reaction. I think because we're a little further out, it took a while for people to realize, to really accept that it was real, unless they were working in healthcare and saw it day to day. You know, but more recently, our caseload, we just had one of our schools, you know, have to shut down because a certain number of staff members were infected and they didn't have enough staff members. So I think now people are starting to really feel the impacts of it out here. And I know people who've lost family members. So it took a little longer, but I think people are starting to realize and take it seriously now. That it is a real thing and can really affect them, if not their loved ones.
This is a seat we can pick up. If you go out to this district 33A, once again, it's just west Medina, the north side of Lake Minnetonka, all the way out to the Hennepin County border, down to St. Bonnie's. You see that the Republicans are very concerned about this race. They're trying to spend a lot of money to hold on to this race. Caitlin, this is the time I tell everyone, help your local Democrat, by all means, help the local DFLer. But if you're in a relatively safe district, we need to get volunteers and donations just out to the western side of Hennepin County. This is not a far walk, folks. You can get out there. We have bike trails. You can bike out there, for goodness sake. Go out, volunteer, donate. It's Cahill for House, correct?
Yep, cahillforhouse.com.
Cahill for House, CahillForHouse.com. Volunteer, donate, and I'll tell you what, making a donation or trying to help volunteer a little bit in this day and age, it's perfect because that district is just gorgeous right now with the fall colors. So get out to 33A and help out Caitlin Cahill. Caitlin, I appreciate the time today. Thank you very much. All my best in your campaign.
Thank you so much for having me again.
My pleasure. Caitlin Cahill, Democrat of the Day, Minnesota House Race 33A.